insight and revelation. We ask, O God, that you furnish us with your sufficiency, that by the strength of your Spirit, we may advance out of this place as conquerors, as winners, and as victors. So that the new season that you are opening over our lives, we will enter into it as overcomers. Take all the glory, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the precious name of Jesus. God bless you, you may be seated. This morning, time is a challenge. But the Lord will help us. It doesn't take God eternity to do that which is eternal. I want to share with you this morning something that will change your life forever. Let me tell you, it doesn't take so much to make impact in life. It takes secrets. Only a man who understands secrets can be a victor and a ruler in this life. As important as hard work is not so important when you compare it side by side with secrets. You should have known by now. Somebody said, humorously, he said, if it were by hard work, the Bible pushers would have been the richest men in this world. So hard work, as important as it is nothing compared to your understanding of spiritual secrets. The day you understand secrets in the realm of God, you become a victor. You become a ruler. You become an overcomer. Most times, the crisis of our lives is a crisis of ignorance. Jesus said, rather, Peter said, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So from the realm of God, when God looks at us, we lack nothing. He didn't say he will give us. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. It said, according as his divine power, by his authority, he has given unto us. Is a pattern. He is not giving to us. He will not give to us. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But he said, it is through the revelation. It is through the epignosis. It is through the knowledge of him who has called you to glory and virtue. So when you see a believer struggling, God has nothing to do about it. God has done everything. A believer who wants to go ahead in life must invest to lay hold on secret. That's why I say, buy the truth, sell it not. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the Bible says, they that do know their God, he said, they shall be strong and do exploit. So exploit is the function of revelation. When a man is struggling, sometimes we struggle and we think by crying, God will do something. God has already done everything he can do. The problem is the problem of ignorance. Please don't be distracted by the children. The crisis of our lives is a crisis of ignorance. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. My people, even though you belong to God and you assume that your father has all the authority, God himself says you will be destroyed if you don't have understanding. That means a man who lacks understanding, a man who lacks knowledge, even though he's with God, God cannot help him. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That was God talking. It therefore beholds everybody who wants to receive an intervention from God to lay hold on knowledge. This is why we preach the gospel. This is why we advertise the gospel. Because without the knowledge of God, man has no hope in this kingdom. But unfortunately, many believers lack knowledge. This morning, I want to share something with you that will make you a master and a decider of the circumstances of your life. If you can get it, your story is about to change. And life Let your glory fall like fire, like the rain, let it fall. Like fire, like the rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like the rain, let it fall. We are about to shift into another season this morning. We are about to enter into another season this morning. But you don't enter into seasons because the moon has gone round. You don't enter into seasons because the earth has gone round the sun. No, no, no. You don't enter into seasons because there is a difference in the date. You enter into a season because there is an appointment pattern in the heavens, and men of understanding are able to decode it. And by keys in the realm of the spirit, they download the possibilities that are in those seasons. Death can come and go. The sun can go around, the moon, the earth, rather, can go around the sun. Your life will not change. Death can come and go. The earth can revolve around the sun. Your life may never change. There are definite secrets that causes a man to be able to download the possibilities that are in every season. Many people lose the seasons of their lives. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, it said the sons of Issachar, it said they had understanding of the times and the seasons, and knew what Israel ought to do. He said the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. It's not enough to know that it's a new season. He said they knew what to do. Their ability to know what to do was what made them champions and heads in their clan. You may have come this morning and you know that you are about to enter into a new season, but that you know it's not enough. There are many people that are aware that God wants to visit them. God wants to bring them a visitation. Nothing happens because that you are aware does not make a difference. It is knowing what to do and doing what to do that activates a new season. Israel was in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. God had told Abraham many years before their captivity that they were going to be in captivity for 400 years, but they were there for 430 years because there was no man that knew what to do. The calendar of heaven was that intervention will come to them at the 400th year. But 400 years passed. 401, 402, until 430. God was in heaven. In those 30 years, many people died. They were being played, flogged, beaten, molested. Children were killed in Egypt. God did nothing because the people on earth did not know what to do to download the possibilities that are in that season. There are many believers that promotions have been hanging on their head for 10 years, but they don't know what to do to download the promotion. There are many believers that God has spoken visitations over their life, but it has lasted for years. They don't know. Every time their birthday comes, they feel something is about to happen. They think something will happen until the birthday passes. Every time a new year begins, they go and make resolutions. They think because a new date has come. They think because the earth has gone around the sun, it is going to bring them new possibilities. This does not bring visitation. It is the wisdom, the secret, and the understanding to take advantage of those seasons that make the difference. And this is where many believers lack understanding. Somebody has been in business struggling for years. God shows up and says he's about to promote the business. The business is aware. Sometimes God sends men graciously, and then prophets come to tell them this is their business. They are aware. But they look back after many years, nothing happens. A lady reaches the age of marriage. God tells her husband is coming. She goes for meetings, prophets, confirm. confirm it, that this is the school for their marriage, they wait 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years back, till not yet married. Because they lack understanding. Many people, calendars of heaven, they were supposed to be in school. But those seasons come, they don't know how to take advantage of the favor that's in that season. The season passes. Jesus, in Luke chapter 19, verse 44, he was entering Jerusalem, and the Bible said he lamented over Jerusalem. He said, because thou knowest not the times of thy visitation. The worst tragedy that will happen to a man in this life is his inability to understand when God is visiting and to know what he needs to do. He will be alive, yet his purpose will pass him by. He will be alive, his purpose will elude him. Until he lives a wretched life and leave this world without impact. The knowledge of activating cities, the things to do, they are too important. Times of visitation. This morning is another strategic time in the spirit for us. We are going to enter this season, but to maximize this season, you need to know what you need to do. Because there are definite codes that are connected to every season, and only them who have progressed can maximize it. I have seen this evil for many years. I have studied the lives of men, and I have seen this season. 10 people praying together, laboring and fasting together. They go to the bush, they fast for 7 days, they pray. Then later in their lives, only one of them makes it. And then there's 6 others. You can't find them anywhere. And then sometimes they reconnect after 20 years. And then you see the same people that were praying together, trusting God together. One of them is a high flyer. The other one is still struggling with house rent. And then out of sin party, a man who knows how to maximize it now touches in the house and he calls it a breakthrough. People you went to school with, 5 years, 15 years down the line, they are flying American like they are going to their backyard. They are commanding influences everywhere. And then you see them, you are still struggling looking for a job. And then the man gives you 100,000. You see, it's a breakthrough. Some come to boast and say, look at him, we were classmates. Your classmates now owns companies. He sees you. He visits your heart. He gives you a car. You call it a breakthrough. What is the difference between you and that man? He understands how to maximize things. There is a dimension of God that if you violate, what you call a blessing is a curse. What you receive and you celebrate is supposed to be the things you give people every day. But the error is because you don't know how to maximize your system. We see people who allow their children to come and go every day, and they relax, they cry. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he was crying on their behalf. He said, because thou knowest not the times of their visitation. Many have lost the times of their visitation because they don't know how to maximize the seasons of their lives. You see a young lady who is supposed to be a mother of 4, getting married at the age of 30. Faithfulness. We thank God for his intervention. But if that lady knew how to maximize that season, maybe she would have married at the age of 23. But when the angel of marriage visited her, she was wasting her life. At that time, she was her first child was supposed to be 11 years old. By the time she's 50, her first child should be 21. What she doesn't know is that even the destiny of her seed, she has robbed them value. Because when that child is supposed to be a governor, that's when the child is graduating from the university. Because the woman doesn't understand the sequence of life. Her wakefulness of her life also becomes a negative effect on her child. The time her child is supposed to be 30 and ruling over things in this world, her child is 10 years old. And then the child comes into this world disadvantaged because the lady doesn't know the times of her visitation. When God was prompting her, she thought life was pleasure. We don't understand the intelligence that is in this world. When God created a tree, he didn't need to come creating trees anymore. He put the seed in the tree.
So the seed
of the next generation of the tree is inside of that tree. If that tree fails to produce seed, as far as God is concerned, that tree will die. That is why God destroyed the big tree. Because the tree's refusal to maximize the season is also a violation of the possibility of the next generation. Every time the man violates the season, he robs the next generation of their own advantage. That was the cause that ran through Israel for many generations. When men should wake up, you see boys of 30 years wasting their lives because they don't understand that it's not just about them, that the next generation to come depends on them. Not knowing how to maximize this is the cause of many people. You pray for them, lay hands on them, anoint them, but they waste everything that God gives them. The greatest prophet, Jesus said, they were slain in Jerusalem. He said, he lamented. He said, because thou knowest God the times of thy visitation. For those of us who are young here, don't waste your destiny on the altar of temporary pressure. Don't take you away from your destiny because you have no idea what was written concerning you. I want to show you something this morning that will help you to understand the blueprint of your destiny. Maybe you thought it was about your job hours. So you run around with the young people and become an area poor. You don't know you are robbing yourself of a glorious destiny. The sons of Isaac, is that they had understanding of the times and of the season. If you waste the season when you should be preparing, having fun, you will pay for it with your life. When Esau was supposed to be building himself, he was living for pleasure. The Bible says when he came back, he worked for it bitterly, but he never received it again. Seasons, many people lose their seasons. Most of the prayers we pray now are not necessary. The crisis is because we wasted our seasons. We wasted. A woman that God made her womb to be a gate to create possibilities and dimensions in the heavenly. That woman converts herself to become a sex worker because she wants to fix a good reborn. And then after 15, 20 years, he comes back crying to God. Her resources were multiplied from heaven 20 years ago, but she didn't understand this. Children, you wish and die, you understand. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty. We are about to enter a new city. I need to tell you this thing so that you might recognize it. By praying for you. But if you waste your sin, there is nothing you can do about it. Samuel said, I will not sin against God by not praying for you. But his whole labor upon the life of Saul was a waste. Because Saul was a vagabond personality. So even though Samuel was faithful in his office as a prophet, there was little or nothing to do for Saul. I want to show you things that you need to do. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus began to reveal to us the secret of unlocking seasons. You know, I told you the power of a season is not in the time, the power of a season is in your secret, your understanding of the secret of downloading its possibilities. Because if you don't know how to download its possibilities, you may talk about it, but it will not come to pass. Jesus appeared to me at the age of 7. I saw him again at the age of 12. And he told me he was sending me to the nation as an apostle. But God began to announce me at the age of 31. What if I rose earlier? What if I didn't waste those years? What if I committed to his government sufficiently? Men like David became national figures at the age of 17. Timothy, national figures at the age of 17. Impact in the kingdom is not a function of age. What is the quality of your relationship with God. Until you fuse to God and submit to His government, the secret of unlocking things will not work in your life. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus said, and He said unto them, they came asking Jesus, when will these things be? These things that you speak about. We believe in you. We know we are part of this. But when will these things be? And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. So the key for unlocking seasons is the authority that manipulates that season. So Jesus was telling them, knowing about the season is not your prerogative. And even if you do, it's not important. The most important thing in a season is the authority that unlocks it. So every season that comes to your life, the only way to walk in the fullness of that season is your understanding of how to align with that authority. The moment you are in disalignment with that authority, that season will pass you by, because the key for unlocking season is locked up in spiritual authority. It is authority that unlocks it. Now, authority is different from power. You may have power to do a lot of things, but authority works in the spirit realm. You only see the manifestation in time. Power works in time. Authority works in the spirit. For we preachers, you can find yourself operating in a certain dimension for many years. You will fast, you will pray, you will give. Everything you need to do, you will remain there. Until you understand a season has come. And then that season comes with its demands. The moment you align with that season, you are shifted immediately to another level. The same things you were doing, you will do those same things, but you see a different result. Power was able to sustain you at a level, but the moment authority came, it brought promotion. So you are doing the same thing you are doing, but your results become different. We were preaching the gospel for many years. God came and told me in 2019 March, I will begin to announce you. The same message I preach. It's not like I started preaching a new message with new revelation. The same messages I preach that were littered everywhere, I collected some of them and put online. And in 14 days, I was rich from 17 nations. What was the difference? What has happened to the message? The season has changed. As I was entering 2019, the Lord came to me and He said, there is a temptation coming your way, don't fall. So the key for entering that level of fame and influence was not in the fact that the season was coming. It was my obedience to the instruction. He said, don't fall. And because God helped me to stand, the same thing I had began to produce a different result. Those messages were blessing the people that were listening to them. But the moment the season was unlocked, the scope changed. The influence changed. The impact changed. Because seasons are unlocked by authority. That is why every time God wants to promote a man, the laws become different. He says, clearly, if the righteousness of God revealed, He said, from faith to faith. So if you want to advance from one level of spiritual possibility to another, it's not a new layer of righteousness is revealed to you. Right standing with the government of God. Many people violate the law and the protocol of righteousness. They know God wants to do something, but they fail to follow the demands of that season. Every season comes with a demand. Your obedience to the demand of that season is your alignment with the authority that unlocks that season. Jesus was in Nazareth for 30 years. They only knew Him as a carpenter. 30 years! But when the season of manifestation came, the man got up from his house and went straight to Jordan. John had been baptized. Where were you? He understood seasons. And when he went to John to be baptized, John said, no, I should be baptized of you. He said, so far it to be so for now. Thus, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The power to unlock that season was locked up in the demand. This is where a lot of mistakes fail. We come to church, we sing, we worship God, we cry, we give up, we give sin, but we don't know the things that promote us. If God wants to promote a man, it brings a new quota of righteousness. The moment you walk into it, you have activated that authority on your behalf. Suffer it to be so for now. That was Jesus, the Son of God, speaking. He didn't say, because I'm the Son of God, anytime I want to save the world, I will save the world. There were many blind people in Nazareth. He didn't heal one. Many cripples, he didn't heal one. He was still the Son of God. But he said, suffer it to be so for now. As if it was not enough. He allowed John, we call it humiliation, but it's an economy in the spirit realm. Some of the things you call embarrassment, it was God working on you. In 2016, I didn't know that my season was closed. And God led me to my friend's church. My friend, we live together in the same house. And as I started fellowshipping with him, I said, okay, well, let me just stay with you here. I have a meeting that I have fellowship with you, and if there's anything I can do, fine. Both of us were submitted to Apostle of yourself. Both of us live in the same house. My friend carried me to the Oslo unit. I said, join the ocean, that in this church we grow from the we grow through the ladder. Both of us were ministers in heaven. Because I dare we go to church on Sunday morning. My old friend said, we grow through the ladder. And he carried me and in the ocean unit. I have my master's degree. At that time, he had not even graduated from the university. I have my master's degree. And he was holding a campus torch. And we come to church and stand at the door. Welcome, sir. Or many people are there. When they have their convention and people come from Remnant, where I was a minister, I will stand in front the way these guys are standing like this. And the Remnant pastors will look at me. What's happening? What's going on here? That's when you will know that promotion is not about cramming the Bible. Promotion is not about talking God. Promotion is the quality and the texture of your yieldedness to the government of the Holy Spirit. Stand there! 1 year, 6 months, 8 months, I was a usher in my friend's church. For those 5 years, 8 months, when the church closed, I wait. He does all his leaders with him, I carry his Bible. And follow him, and we go to the house and we become friends. When we go home, we become friends. 1 year, 8 months, my own friend. Lord, what is this? I didn't know what was going on. I died many times. Until a point came when it became normal for me. I was doing the rushing work, I was having fun. At first, I was conscious of the fact that I'm a graduate, I'm a master's degree holder. But the point came, I didn't remember it anymore. At first, I was conscious, come on, why would I be serving these children? The point came, I didn't remember it anymore. I didn't know that period that the Lord was dealing with me, He was reorganizing my soul to be able to handle glory and power. Most of the things you call embarrassment, they are schools of the spirit. Those are the things that will help you maximize the seasons that are opening over your life, because seasons are activated by authority. When those seasons went on, even himself knew that it would be a sin for me to continue with what I was doing. And I passed the test. I passed the test. As the students are unlocked today, most of you will leave here and go to your shop. And then something will happen. You want to quarrel. The Holy Ghost will keep quiet. You will not be aware that it is the texture of your obedience that unlocks the powers of his sin. Most of you will go to your office. A lot of crisis. You want to move, you want to act, and the Holy Ghost says, calm down. You keep quiet, you are dying, you are dying. Because the possibility of that season will only walk through the weakness of your spirit. And that's what the Holy Ghost is desperate to teach you. And if you fail to pass the test, even though the prophets are gone forth, the season will resonate over your head, you will never enter. The laws activate this. To activate the season is very easy. It's very easy. Because the authority to unlock the season is has now been given to us in the name. Anybody that knows how to invoke that name can unlock the season. But walking in it is the control of obedience. So as we unlock the season this morning, as you go back, your path to maximizing the season is through your obedience to the utterance of God and the prophetic instructions that keep coming from the altar. Sometimes God wants to unlock a season and He gives a man a demand and the man pays. Did you read the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22? God promised Abraham many years ago that will be blessed in northeast. All things. Here was Abraham. He had given birth to his son. The 25 years, the teacher was just to help him learn the way of faith. So Abraham learned faith for 25 years, and God was not moved. God didn't say, okay, you are growing old. God was where he was. When Abraham succeeded in learning faith, he gave him a child, but the greatness had not come. The only way he was going to walk into that greatness was to pass the command of Isaac. And when Isaac was grown up, he said, take thy child, thy only child, whom thou lovest, and offer him to me as sacrifice. What did that say? You promised me this child. I waited for 25 years. Now this child is growing. So altogether we'll be around 35 or something years. And then you now come and say, I should go and kill this child. This is the voice of the devil. Have you not been in that situation where you were trusting God for a particular amount of money? You were trusting God for money, and then the money came. The moment the money came, God now said, take that money, go and put it on the altar. See why many people remain small. They come to church, they see the rich giving like foolish people. They say it's because they are rich. No, they are not giving because they are rich. They are rich because they are giving. The poor man will keep the little he has and remain little. Even when God is speaking, he's thinking of the money he wants to buy. That's why he remains at the level of money. But the rich man understands the law. All he has, God said, give the rush and drop it. And then this year he gave 1,000. Next year he gave 10,000. The next one he gave 100,000. The next time he gave 1 million. And then he comes to the media. Because they have money, that's why they are showing. Keep your own there, and you will remain with that change you have for 30 years. The law of activating system is the law of obedience. Abraham knew if he told Sarah that day, the family would scatter. So there was no need for any Sarah. He managed with the child from the house to say, we are going to worship God. And in Genesis 22, verse 5, even the men that walked with Abraham, he didn't tell them. Abraham told them, we are going up to worship God. Because even the guards will stop him. They will say, no, this thing, no, it's not God. He didn't even tell the guards that followed him. He went to the mountain. And when he was about to kill the child, then God speaks from heaven. He said, now I know. What do you mean, now you know? Are you not the one they call the omniscient God? I thought you knew everything. But the man needed to be tested in order to qualify for the season that was opening. He said, now I know. Now I know that thou hearest me. And he said, God swore by his name that he blessed him, I will bless you. That was the same thing he told Abraham over 35 years ago. Now Abraham is about to enter, because this is where he was able to demonstrate the quality of obedience that was that dimension. Now I know that you fear me. In blessing, I will bless you. And in Genesis 24, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says Abraham was old and stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Is it not funny that we have Christians now? We are also giving Abraham blessings and man. And we seek him for 20 years, there is no blessing in our lives. Abraham blesses our mind. We think spiritual things are things. We want to rob God. He said to the pre-world, I will show myself pre-world. When you want to show God you are crooked, he will keep you there for a long time. The quality of your obedience is what determines the seasons you can activate. Now I know that you fear me. What are those things that God have insisted you do that you have refused to do for the past 5 years? That is why it looks as if prophecy is not working. The prophecy has worked again and again. You have failed to take delivery because your obedience is lacking. He said, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you can avenge other disobedience. We are raising a generation of Christians that have no regard for the authority of God. The God, you have no regard for his authority. is the God you are hoping to bless. This is why we have Christ every day. This season that is about to be opened, you can open up different dimensions of this season every day of your life. There are times when in 1 year, we notice 3, 4, 5, 6 promotions. Because, you know, God is light. I don't want to enter into quantum mechanics now because I've seen young people. God is light. This light you are seeing, you think is just straight. Light is not a continuum. Light is in packets. In packets. We call it quantum. But the frequency of the release is too high. That's why you think it's a rain. It's actually dispensed in packets. Everything God wants to give you comes to you in packets. But you determine the frequency by the secrets you understand. Because God is light. If God gives you everything he wants to give you now, he will destroy you. He says, I will not drive out your enemy in one day. Because if I do, the land becomes desolate. And the beast will come in and devour you. So the degree of your enlargement is what determines the volume of blessing you can accommodate. And your enlargement is not to charge. It is the secret you apprehend. Every city you enter, you can maximize it at will, depending on your level of understanding and quality of obedience. The way to maximize the season is to take advantage of what the authority of God anchors on. And the authority of God anchors on the name of God. Listen, remember the Bible said, God swore by his name that in blessing, he will bless Israel. The authority of God resonates on the name of God. The name of God is the seal of his authority. Listen, in the natural realm, we use names for nomenclature, we use names for identification. But it's different from the spiritual. So if I say, oh, well, my friend will say, can I help? Because he thinks that name is to identify him. But in the spiritual, names are deeper than identification. Names in the spiritual are signatures of authority. So the signet of authority of a man in the spirit is designated by his name. So the authority of God is locked up in the name of God. Every time a man through obedience enters a season, then his understanding of the authority of the name of God becomes a tool for continually unlocking the dimensions and the possibilities of that season. But unfortunately, again, many believers don't understand the weight of the name of God. So the guy is going in the car and the driver prays, say, Jesus! And the Jesus he calls was out of fear, not out of revelation. The first thing I have told you this morning is what? Continuous obedience as a precursor for entering into the season. The second thing I want to show you now is using the name of God by revelation as a key of maximizing your season. Because when through obedience you enter the season, by your revelation of the name of Jesus, you begin to maximize the season. Remember, when God wanted to bless Abraham, he said, your name shall no longer be Abraham, but Abraham. So everywhere Abraham went, he began to utter a new kind of name. I am no longer an assumed father. I am now the father of kings. So that name was a witness of the new thing God wants to begin to do in his life. So as this season is unlocked, if you go back and then you are talking the things you were talking yesterday, even though you are in a new possibility, you cannot maximize it. That's why God comes to a man. He said, I will make you great. On that the man, you are great. And the man goes back, is lamenting about the crisis of yesterday. He has not entered into the reality of today. The moment he enters into the reality of today, he begins to confess to him the way God sees it. That was how God created the world. When God was creating the world, everything God created in Genesis chapter 1, it did not appear. It was in Genesis chapter 2 that most of the things he created began to appear. And I will show you from the Bible. The Bible says God poured forth the green plant and it came out of the ground. And in Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says God had not yet made man. So there was no clean vegetation on the land because there was no man to clean the ground. So what God said, where did this seed appear? He saw it in the spirit. As this season is proclaimed over you, it will be declared to be a season of abundance. So when you get home, it doesn't matter what you see. The moment Abraham was able to see it, he began to call himself Abraham. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 4 verse 18, he said he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. What was he doing? He was saying what God said. Imagine if you were in Abraham's generation and a man of 100 years who is impotent now wakes up all of a sudden and says, now I am father of kings. I am father of kings. You will say, oh, this crisis has made him mad. Ah, this thing has affected him. But he understood how the realm works. He knew what the realm works. So he called his circumstance what God calls it. That's how you minister in the spirit. You come to somebody who is sick. Obviously, the person is sick. But when you come, you will not say you are sick. You say you are healed. Because you are calling what God calls. And the moment faith is released, the person becomes what God calls. So the name you call your circumstance is the resource you have. When you enter a season, it becomes important that your utterance changes. Most of you, seasons have come and gone. There are some who have even entered, but you have not walked in the reality. Because you talk your circumstance, you don't talk what God says. Every season God unlocks, the potentials of those seasons are locked up in a name. This is why the children of Israel have many names for God. Every dispensation has a name for God. Ever had need, and God came and said, yes, truly, you are dead, but I will give you a child. So he now saw a God that had the ability to provide all his needs, and he said his name is called El Shaddai. So when they related with God, they related with God based on the possibilities they see in him that was available for their citizens. He was in need, he was in lack, he was in want. And then here comes the Spirit and say, I will provide all you need. He now began to call that Spirit the multifaceted one. So every time Abraham went before God, he said, the multifaceted one. The multifaceted one. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob called God El Shaddai. And this is why they could not lack in their lives. Abraham needed a child. The El Shaddai gave him a child. Isaac was in Gerar. There was poverty in the land. People were running to Egypt. They wanted to run to Egypt because they stay still in this land. And Isaac began to relate with the El Shaddai. Isaac dug well in the dry ground. And the El Shaddai made water to come out of it. So long as he was calling El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, everything he needed was supernaturally provided because he knew that the potentials of that season was locked up in the understanding of the God that provides all things. So he said, El Shaddai. These guys knew this secret so much that even when they blessed their children, they blessed them with those names because those names were like cactus that hosted all of those dimensions. So Jacob would bless his children and he said, El Shaddai bless you, Adonai keep you. All of them mean different things. Adonai means Lord. El Shaddai means supplier. So when he wants to supply, he says, let the supplier bless you. When he wants to preserve, he says, let the master, the Lord, keep you. They understood the place of utterance. A new season is coming upon your life. It's important what you say. Because your obedience may be complete, but your language may be wrong. And if your language is wrong, everything that is available, you cannot maximize. Israel! Were going out of Egypt and there was war. There was no way they could conquer their enemies. Their enemies were stronger than them. And instantly, God gives Moses wisdom. He says, sit on the mountain, and so long as you lift your hand, Israel will conquer. And Moses was there, his hand lifted. And so long as his hand was up, Israel was winning. His hand come down, Israel losing. Aaron and Hur had to support him. When the battle was over, they now changed what they called God. Began to call him Jehovah Nissi. Because that season, what God was doing for them was to cover them like a banner. So their utterances were consistent with the possibilities and provisions of the season. So when you are blessed, be sensitive to hear, don't be religious. Believers come to church, they are blessing them, they are doing like this. They think it's by closing their eyes and nothing happens to you because we are gesticulating. You need to understand the secrets that bind these things and make them happen. You will hear a man of God come and say, this season is a season of divine health. But the person didn't hear what God said. He goes back, he falls sick and he's struggling, trying to. What did God say about this season? The Israelites knew it, so they carried it as their heritage. Every time they lacked, they went to invoke the name. So when Isaac was blessing Jacob, he didn't bother to give him his assets. He said, I bless you with corn and wine. The name he gave Jacob, anywhere Jacob goes to, that name can produce corn and wine. They are no regard for inflation. I bless you with corn and wine. So he gave him El Shaddai. And this was Jacob wanting to bless the sons of Joseph in Genesis chapter 48. And he began to talk to them about the same El Shaddai that appeared to him. This is how these guys worked. They understood spiritual laws. They had mastery over secrets. But the believer talks anyhow. Today, somebody gives you $10. He says, I am blessed too. Thank God. Tomorrow, he needs money. Money doesn't show up. He says, wait till they happen everywhere. How can the mouth that bless cause? How can the fountain of fresh water bring salt water? So we choke our possibilities. And we are not taught. So we don't understand the power that is on the tongue. He said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. He said, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The fruit is what you say. It becomes your reality. The name for the season must become the banner over your life. The name. Why do we call Jesus Savior? Because in the season of salvation, God was no longer coming to us as Jehovah Sabaoth. He was not coming to us as Jehovah Ra. He was coming to us as Savior. So the name of God that the angel introduced to Mary, he said, it shall be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the reason he was called Jesus was because salvation had come. So the name was consistent with the season. Everybody that through obedience follow salvation demand, which is to believe in his heart and confess, is saved. And as you are saved, then you carry the name of Jesus everywhere you go. This is why we call Jesus every time there is a name, because we know that the name Jesus has the power to invoke salvation. But if you don't understand that everything God wants to do and all the abilities of God are locked up in the name, you will talk the way you choose to talk, because you will not understand that your greatest security is in your world. Your greatest security is not in the hands of the military, it is in what you say. But many don't understand. Seasons. A season is about to open over us. And the first demand of that season is to be careful to obey everything that that season dictates. The season may dictate that for you, begin to give liberally. For you to maximize that season, giving must become your life. The season may demand that for you, no quarreling, no argument, no backbiting, no gossip. So long as you obey the demand of that season, everything that season has become for you. And the season will demand that for you is prayer and fasting. The season will demand that for you is investment. If you violate the demand of that season, even if God appears in your bedroom, it will not amount to anything. This is what believers don't know. A lot of people have encounters. They see angels, they see light, and they think that because they saw light, their life will change. Your life doesn't change because you saw something. It is your obedience to the law that spirit brings that changes your life. Many believers are lawless. And it's a time for us to come back to find out what it is that God is demanding of us. This season that is going to be unlocking over us in a few moments, it will come with demands, I assure you. Most of you may go to your house and it will become difficult for you to gossip. Most of you may go to your house, it will become difficult for you to quarrel. Most of you may go to your house, those things you wanted to give that you couldn't give, if you don't give, you will not sleep. Because for you to enter into the full fullness of the Spirit, you must become liberal. You must become meek. You must become kind. These are the laws that come with your Spirit. And if you obey those laws, everything that sin has to offer will just be happening to you. You will sit in your house and you say, ah, this is that God loves me too much. You are the one pursuing money. See, there are people that since daybreak today, they have received more than 10 alerts. Not because they supply goods and services. Through obedience, they have been strategically positioned in a place of blessing. Some people, they believe their back is gone down because of vibration from alerts. And all of us are sons of God. What is the difference? How did they get there in life? It is by progressive obedience. Every time you violate instruction, every time you violate the demands of a season, every time you violate the instructions of God, you are setting yourself up to be small. The reason we struggle, the reason we are small, is not because our God is weak. It's because our obedience pattern is not clear. We need to consciously begin to find out. I told us that Paul was the last of the apostles. So naturally, by chronological order, he was supposed to be the least. But if you study the operation of the apostolic and even their contribution in the scriptures, you discover that Paul was greater than them all. When Paul met Jesus, Paul said, Lord, what will you have me do? He knew that a new season had come in his life. He was going in a certain direction, but God had activated the new season. And instantly, by the spirit of wisdom, Paul didn't tell Jesus, what is this thing for me? That was the question Peter asked. He said, we have left all and followed you. What is this thing for us? There's nothing wrong in demanding from God, but there is a higher kind of request. For Paul, when he met Jesus, he knew a new season had come. He said, Lord, what will you have me do? And Paul became the greatest of all the apostles. There are two questions we'll ask this morning. The first question is, Lord, as you open this season, what will you have me do? It doesn't matter whether you are young or old. When the Spirit brings a question of obedience, age is not a factor. Because it is the supply of the Spirit that will make the difference. Age is not a factor. Most of the men that are shaping their world today, if you read their story, they began when they were 18 years old. In 1979, Bishop David Oyedepo called the whole Nigeria for a 3 days fast. He is about 66 today. In 1979, how can a young boy like that have the audacity to think he can call Nigeria for a fast in a military era? So when he is speaking with authority today, he is not speaking with authority because he is an old man. He understood those secrets when he was young. David was not shaking Israel because he had become an old king at the age of 17. David would confront Goliath. So age is not what makes the difference. It is the extent to which you know the Spirit that is calling you into depths. Most of us, the Lord calls us by different kinds of instruction. We violate it. The reason we pray so much and we have so little is because we don't understand that our result most of the time is locked up in our obedience. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom. Every other thing shall be added unto you. So Jesus didn't even ask us to pray for food. He didn't ask us to pray for bread. He said that is what a beggar is doing. You know who is a beggar? A beggar is not a sinner. A beggar is a devotee of a religion. A beggar is a religious man. He said they are the ones that ask for clothes and ask for bread. He said the lilies of the field. He said that beautiful and mighty as Solomon is not as arrayed as one of them. He said your heavenly Father knows that you need this thing. So what then is the cure for lack? What then is the key for abundance? It's not necessarily prayer. You may pray and receive, but it's not necessarily prayer. It is obedience to the demands of the government of God. A man of obedience is a man of abundance. Abraham did not pray once for bread. He didn't pray once for cattle, but he lived a life of continuous obedience. And when Abraham was old, the Bible says the Lord had blessed him in all things. Our obedience quota in this season is very important. In the moment we are going to bow our heads and ask the Lord, Lord, we have come to another city. What will you have us do? I have come to another city. Will this one still be another calendar year? God forbid. What will you have me do? There is something you need to do, because you know that your success story depends on the things you do. It doesn't take God anything to change our story. It takes God nothing. You may sit down and calculate and say, Kai, this is my dream. When will I get there? As I am now, all I have in my bank account is 10,000. How will I get there? You don't know how spirits work. If God wants to orchestrate a change in your life, it's mysterious. You can step out of your house in your job barracks, and your primary schoolmate just shows up driving on the street. And then he tells you he came from America yesterday. Why he came to Nigeria, he doesn't know. What are you doing here? He said, oh boy, see me. He said, no. You mean you? Devil. He said, oh boy, see the devil. And the devil be this. He said, no. Abba, devil. Hey, Baba, devil. You become humble of his body. He said, no. The next thing he carries you to the car stand as they pick in the car. Your budget could not imagine car. Even if they told you to imagine yourself driving a car, it would be hard. Your brain can't capture it. But that's how mysteries work. The Bible said the step of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. There's a place for your abundance, but only by obedience can you walk there. This is what many violate. So they cry, praying and begging God. Meanwhile, God has given the formula. He says, seek ye first the kingdom, all these things shall be added. So we seek things instead of seeking obedience. This is the crisis of our lives. This morning, we are going to ask God, the biggest things that God do for you are not the friendly things you see. The biggest things God does for you are the things He walked into your spirit. That's why men become invincible. You see a man walking in blessing every day of his life, you say, how is this thing happening? Even if the negative supernatural they know, if you like, go and seek a witch doctor today. There is no spirit that gives to a man without obedience. Every spirit walks by laws. And when God makes a declaration, the manifestation is tied to your obedience. Manifestations don't just come to pass because God decreed. They come to pass because men are willing to obey. This morning we will ask a question. Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? If you know what to do, you will get what you should. Lord, what will you have me do? That's our prayer this morning. And as we depart from here and God gives us instruction, either through a spirit or through his servant, as we live, we will speak it. The Bible says, carry with you words. Carry words. Why do you think the elders of old were so bold? A man will come to you and say, before I bless you, go and bring the best venison. What do you mean by that? A man wants to bless you, he says, go and empty your bank account. Are you okay? The man knows that every word you speak is more important than your 1 million in account. So he wanted to bless his soul. He said, go and get me that. Let me eat, and then my soul can bless him. That man knows what he carries. This is why great men don't throw walls around. They know that their walls have the power to change things. As you live here and God gives you the instruction, carry it as your insurance and keep speaking that word that God tells you to speak. For Abraham, he said he was strong giving thanks. He was speaking in the direction of what God spoke. How many of us have declared that we are sick? You just said headache, and the next day you have told 30 people already, I am sick. You will never say, I am healed. Go and take your drug, but never say, I am sick.
The Bible said, let no man in Zion say, I am sick. He said, when men are cast down, he said, say, I am lifted up. He didn't say, when men say they are cast down, men are actually cast down. He said, when men are cast down, don't talk casting down, even if you are down. When you are down, that is when you should talk up. As you live this season, speak according to the demands of the season. When you obey the laws of the season, then talk what the season says. Never speak what God is not saying. You will set yourself up. And even God himself will be helpless on your matter. He said, my people, he didn't say strangers, he said they are destroyed. If they are your people, why do you allow them to be destroyed? For the lack of knowledge. That means God tried to help them, but they can't. The Lord tells them, I want to bless you, but they go out and they say, nothing they work. I'm going to increase you. They go out and they say, nothing they work. Every time God tries, God cannot reach out to them because they use their voice and their mouth to destroy what God is giving. Every season has laws, and the secret of downloading the potentials of the season, they are simply two. One is obeying the demands of that season. Two is confessing the possibilities that is revealed in that season, and you will discover that your lives will change. Do we bow down and talk to the Lord this morning? This morning I came with very simple instructions so that everybody can understand. If not, every day we teach mysteries and we talk deep spiritual realities. I try to say it in a simple way this morning so that if you don't remember anything, when next you go to your shop and you want to gossip and you lose your peace, know that the law of the season is what is confronting you. When next you want to malign somebody's name and you lose your peace, know that is the law of the season. When next you want to rebel and you lose your peace, know that is the law of the season. It may be something you want to do, but remember, the more you go in the direction of disobedience, the more you make your life difficult. When next you want to talk fear, know that the season does not permit it. When next you want to talk unbelief, know that the season does not permit it. If you know what to do, you will have what you should have. The problem of many people is because their life is not gathered together by laws. The problem with most people is because their tongue is not controlled by laws. They just talk what they feel and they do what they like. Men of honor don't behave like that. It's only animals that do what they feel like doing. So a goat sleeps with his sister because he felt like having sex. A goat sleeps with the mother. A goat gets up and faces this direction. It talks this direction. No law around his life. That's why he's an animal. But the Bible says, a man in honor that knoweth not is like a beast of the field that perishes. Our life must be gathered and connected together by laws. Every season of your life has laws. Every season. I have fasted and prayed for many years. But this season that I am in, only one thing God is emphasizing: concentration. Concentration. So I know that I have to keep retreating every week. And if I don't obey, and that instruction is lifted, then everything that God brings for me this season, I will lose it. It's not enough to say I fasted for 10 years. This season, God is saying, wait upon me. Wait upon me. If you violate it, you will discover that the thing you were doing and seeing results, a point will come, it will become like chaff. Chaff. You were seeing people were crying, falling everywhere. God comes and says, there is a new season. Wait upon me. Wait upon me. And then you are busy. You are running there and there. And then you come to church, you shout. Nothing happens anymore. You become like chaff. Because the power is not necessarily what you are doing, it's in the supply of the Spirit. And we ask the Lord this morning, Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? I didn't come to speak to everybody. I came to speak to the people that this season is fully for. The people that will truly maximize this season. And they will have testimonies that will blow their minds. Testimonies. Testimonies. can't be too, Lord. Talk to the Lord in the privacy of your heart. In the privacy of your heart. You reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You reign. An instruction. I've seen a lot of young people. I've seen a lot of mothers. I've seen a lot of fathers. I came this morning with a spirit of revival. But I've seen people that what they need are instructions. It's not just the stirring of the spirit. It's what we need to practice. When you see a lot of teenagers, you give them instructions to practice. That's what we make them. Those are the reasons why you can't move forward. The Holy Ghost will want you to remove that disobedience and drop it at the altar this morning. So check your soul very quickly. That's the first surgery the Holy Ghost will do this morning. I will pray for the sick. But the first surgery is in the soul. As simple as it may be, you have disobeyed for a long time. The Holy Ghost wants to show you now those areas. Those are the things that have been taught you from moving forward. Sometimes you make the work of pastors very difficult. Fasted, prayed, come to prophesy. But the people will not follow the Holy Spirit. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Have seen an area of disobedience. The Holy Ghost have shown you, flashed it. You know, and you don't want that disobedience to become the reason why you will not enter into the fullness of this season. You want to rededicate yourself, you want to recommit to God, and say, Lord, as you help me, I will obey. Listen, when it comes to God, all of us, we are like dust. You may be big among men, not before your spirit. Some of us, the area of predominant disobedience is pride. We can never say, I am sorry. Never. And then we choke our soul and God can't flow through us. Pride. Because we don't have the right estimation of the God we are dealing with. This morning, you are here. And there's that area of disobedience that have prevented God from to you, and the Holy Ghost have showed you this morning. I'm not calling any case, I'm not calling anything wrong. And you want to drop it at the altar and say, Lord, I cast this on the altar. Come forward, let me pray for you. You may also be in the choir. Don't be carried away soon. You have seen an area of disobedience. Come and place it on the altar very quickly. We'll be out of here in no time. That's the first thing the Holy Spirit will have to address this morning. Those things that have prevented you from entering into the fullness of what God wants to do in your life. Sometimes we think because the man of God lays hand on us, because the man of God prophesied, things will change. Things are not magical. They are definite laws. The reason we think things will just change is because we are not well taught. You will check your life after 10 years. At best, you will only be surviving. Campuses. You see people in their hundreds on the floor screaming, demons out of people. But most times their lives are not changed because they don't make decisions. Spirits walk with you from the point of your decision because he wants to hold you responsible. You are still in the congregation this morning. The Holy Spirit himself has shown you an area of disobedience. I beckon on you to come out now. Before we pray for this people, I was not the one that told you. God himself will deal into your heart. I didn't say if you are masturbating, come. I didn't say if you are lying, come. If there's an area of disobedience and the Holy Spirit have shown it to you, come and make commitment. Those of you who are in front, place it on the altar. Tell the Lord, this is it, this is it, this is it. This is what I struggle with. I bring it to you. He said, whoever calls on me, I shall in no wise cast away. The Lord is to call upon you, is to cry, is to beckon upon the Lord. It may be lying, as simple as it is. It may be fornication. It may be anger. It may be pride. That time when God wants to visit you, that's when that fornication gets about. Every July, you find yourself on it. You are strong from January to July. Because the devil has seen that that's the window of your life. You think you are just singing and asking God for forgiveness. You don't know you are treating your destiny. Drop it at the altar. When God wants to do something new in your life, that's when anger comes and spoils everything. You see, if they don't want to help you, let them go. Now leave them. God say, who told you God did? The God day you are calling, that's the God that you have sent in the person. But you mess it up all the time because of anger, arrogance, and pride. Listen at the altar. Tell the Lord, I can't help myself, help me. He said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't allow anything to rob you of your destiny. Nothing is big enough to rob you of your destiny. Point at the feet of the Master. At the feet of the Master. At the feet of the Master.
Stop time! Stop time! Stop time! Stop time! believe this morning. There's nothing you can do for yourself. That's why you have a Savior.
Visit and touch most of you and check your story.
Don't be distracted. This is not the time.
Precious Holy Spirit, look upon your people right now. Look upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare from the left to the right, from the front to the back, Holy Spirit, touch them.
So an angel of God began to walk with you when you were 9 years old. And the Lord gathered you together. He said, I have put my wisdom in you and I have seasoned your word to bring healing to broken hearts. He said, it's not yet too late to use it. Just in case you are about to late, the Lord brings you a word of confirmation. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit. The hand of God becomes strong now. I stir the waters of your ordination. I stir it from the fountain now. I stir it from the fountains. The angels that have walked with you from a child. I ask that his protection bring upon you now. Holy Spirit, touch now. Thank you, Lord. Use her for your glory. I activate you today. It's well with you, Lord. It's well. It's well. The fire of God upon your life will not be put out. It will not be put out. It will not be put out. It will not be put out. I stir the fire. I stir the fire. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Experiences. You've had those experiences.
Don't allow the devil to use this stuff to take you away. It will destroy you. You don't have a place in the world. You don't have a place in the world. Just take your hands toward them. Let me ask the Lord to release the anointing of your calling upon your life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even as you pointed it out, Lord. Right now, Lord, I release that. I release that. Holy Spirit, rule upon him now. Rule upon him now. Let the anointing well upon his inside. Let the anointing well upon him. I stand in the name of Jesus. I stand in the name of Jesus. Let it flow like a river. Like a river. Like a river.